Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning.
Okay, here we are. Welcome to your half-hour inspirational programming, which is a component of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 90 minutes, actually. We've got a fantastic show planned for you tonight. This is one that's a little unusual. Because normally our Friday night show is usually only a half hour. But because we have a very special guest that's going to be joining us tonight, one who's a world traveler, that is, and he's been just about most places that you can name and many of us only dream about, and I'm so fortunate to have him with us this evening. He brings a wealth of knowledge, expertise, experience, and you name it. And so he's going to be sharing his thoughts with us. He's well-educated. He's just a guy who I admire a great deal, and I certainly am honored to have him on our broadcast tonight. And we're going to be bringing Mr. Steve in. He's going to tell you a little bit about himself, and I certainly hope that you will enjoy tonight's broadcast. Tonight's topic is, does God change his mind? Does God change his mind? And we're going to place some emphasis on the Sabbath. You know, some people see the Sabbath as Sundays, others see it as Saturday. And let's just see, we look at the Exodus 28 and 20 verse 8. And so we're going to discuss some of that tonight. And does God change his mind? But before we get started, we're going to bring in Mr. Steve and let him tell you a little bit about himself. And then we'll go to a story momentarily. We're going to bring in tonight's story. So, Mr. Steve, welcome to your half-hour inspirational programming, which is a component of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Welcome and good evening.
Good evening, and thank you, Dr. Walker. It's great to be here on this evening. In the morning of the seventh day. Thank you very much.
Well, we thank you. And tell us, Mr. Steve, for our listening audience around the world, I know you're a world-class traveler, and, you know, I admire that in you because I've learned so much from you throughout your travels and over the years that I've had an opportunity to know you. So you want to tell our audience that don't know you, give them a little introductory background on yourself.
Well, yes, I was born in Virginia, raised in Louisville, Kentucky, been in South Florida for the last 40 years, retired, public relations, and I've been all over the world. I've been at least 42 states in the United States. I've been to Europe, London, Amsterdam, Africa. I've been to Kenya, Uganda, Egypt, in Cairo City, beautiful. I touched the pyramids. I've actually went to the pyramids and touched them. That was one heck of an experience. You know, been to the Caribbean cruises. So, you know, from that you gain a lot of knowledge from people who have lived in these countries and get their background and how they live and their education and their thoughts on what's going on in the world today. So, I'm in Atlanta, Georgia right now. two houses right now. That's interesting. But married to a lovely woman, Miss Elise. My heart, and been married only just a year and 4 months. My first marriage, a year and 4 months. So we're doing fantastic. I love it.
Wow. Well, I know she has to be quite a lady, the fact that you've traveled worldwide and sought out all of the ladies all over the world, and you found you a jewel for this to be your first marriage. That's got to be remarkable. That has to be a heck of a woman.
Yes.
Right.
Yes,
okay, so, Mr. C, we're going to get to the story in about 3 or 4 minutes, and I just want to ask you just a direct question before we get into the dialogue of it. Basically, does God, in your opinion, does God change his mind?
God doesn't change his mind. God looks at the principle and purpose. When purpose is not known, abuse is inevitable. If you don't know the purpose of a thing, then you abuse it. God is God, the great I am that I am. He knows all. So he already knows the future, the past, the present. So it would be, if you didn't put him, if he's not looked upon as knowing all, then you're saying that, you know, if he's changed his mind, he's perfect in every way. So there's not a way for somebody to perfect and knows all. If you believe this, that he don't need to change his mind. He might be in a situation where he can give you an opportunity to get better, which by grace we're in that right now. But, you know, the principles that he has, the purpose, the commandments, these things are rock solid. Because think about it. If God was starting to change his mind on a regular basis like human, and God is not human, we will be really confused of what we're doing, where we're going at, what's happening. We wouldn't know if we could trust him if he's changing his mind like humans, like we do, changing his mind today, tomorrow, or next week. We wouldn't have a clue what was going on. So you have to understand that God is eternal, you know, all-knowing, the universe. He made the stars, the moon, the skies, the dirt, everything. He made man and took woman from the rib. And that's some powerful stuff that some people may not be able to wrap their mind around it. You may not be able to, some people can't deal with that because that's just beyond. And to be able to do the miracles, raise the dead,
all right.
I mean, how can you, you know, it's hard to wrap your mind around it as a human, but that's where faith and understanding and trust come in that, and believe in that. So it's really deep. It's really deep. You got to be well read, well traveled, and learn, and have some faith and belief, Dr. Walker.
All right, we're gonna go to the story so that we can give some of our audience an opportunity to come in and chime in and give their views, their viewpoints, and their perspective. So we're going to do that. We're gonna go to the phone line, but first I want to share a story with you all, and then we're going to certainly go to come back to that. All right, to characters, and first we're going to offer a word of prayer. Father, we invite you into this show tonight, and Lord, let us realize that we're going to give opinions as we perceive things, as we interpret things, and keep us calm and relaxed and help us all to learn something. These and other blessings we thank you in the name of the Father, the great I am, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. All right.
Amen.
So now we're looking at the characters in tonight's story, Xavier and Yolanda. This is a real deep story, you all, and it's one that's passionate to my heart, and it's, you know, I give this disclaimer. All of these stories that we present over the airwaves are inspired by true stories. The names are always changed to protect the innocent. And as we present these stories, if your situation seems very similar, we're not talking about you. It's just a coincidence. And so we want to be able to put that out there. And then tonight's broadcast is not an attempt to try to persuade or influence anyone to change whatever beliefs or belief systems that they subscribe to. Tonight's broadcast is basically for educational and informational purposes only. It is not any legal advice that we're giving. It's not any psychology advice that we're giving. It's merely opinions that will be expressed over the broadcast. We do not, this broadcast does not endorse anyone's views or political or religious views. We just feel that everybody has a right to their own perspective, interpretation, and belief system. And that's what we're going to be presenting tonight for educational and informational purposes only. And I trust that you will perceive it as such. Anything otherwise, we encourage you to seek professional advice and opinions from those that matter to you. Xavier and Yolanda, this couple have been dating for the past 2 years. They are now considering getting married. There is no question the couple love each other. There is only one thing that seems to be a rather serious challenge for them, and that is their different days of worship. You see, Yolanda has been raised in making Saturday her Sabbath day of worship, while Xavier grew up in a home where Sunday was the day of worship throughout knowledge of his generation. They both are from loving religious families and adore the couple so much and look forward to the next chapter in their lives. They're both 23 years of age, no children, and recent college graduates who met in their junior year of college and have been inseparable since. And now that it looks like they desire to have a future together, things have become a little shaky because neither of them is willing to compromise on this particular issue. Recently, that is, a week ago, Xavier broke up with Yolanda, citing he would never marry someone that does not share the same day of worship as he does. He feels the wife should follow her husband and be submissive even to the day of worship. They haven't spoken in the past 5 days, which is something that has not happened since they started dating. Now they are both sad, and neither of them is willing to give in. And the question, Mr. Steve, that I start out with tonight, should the woman really follow the man even if she feels differently about the day of worship?
Well, in my household and households, you know, you should, but if she's carrying the truth, understand something, if she's carrying the truth with her thing, then she should be educating him because, you know, biblically, you know, working toward truth, what's true. And a lot of people have a different opinions and thoughts on it, so that's why you read, you get the facts, you get the education, you get the truth to move forward. Make sure what you're looking at is good, but, you know, biblically speaking, you know, the woman should follow, but say, for instance, he ain't got the truth, and then, hey, I have to go with the truth and go with the woman if she's dealing with, you know, the truth. So that's my thoughts, you know, for that situation.
Okay. All right. Mr. Steve, we're going to ask you to stand by. We have a number of people that have chimed in here. Let's go to 786-344. Thank you. You're live on the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, which is your half-hour inspirational program. Who do we have and welcome this evening?
You have Pastor Richard Dunn. How you doing, my brother, Dr. Walker?
Oh, Pastor Dunn, thank you so very much for joining us this evening. It's a pleasure and an honor to also have you along with Mr. Steve here, a world-class traveler. Mr. Dunn, I understand you just got back from Jerusalem. Is that right, Pastor Dunn?
From Israel, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay.
What a life-changing experience.
Okay, and did you walk the path that Jesus walked, or did you get into that sea that he was in, that he was baptized in?
I was really baptized.
Oh, you were?
Well,
excellent. What
yes,
an experience. Did by any chance, God forgive me, I'm about to ask a question here that seems to be humorous. Did a dove fly on you?
Something happened. I knew that.
Okay.
My church, I passed the church. They said, Pastor, you came back on fire. I said, who wouldn't after they've had that? It was almost, I would say it was equivalent to Malcolm X's sojourner to Mecca. You know, when he went to Mecca.
Right.
He really saw what he needed to see because he had read about it, but now he saw firsthand.
Uh-huh.
And there's nothing like being an eyewitness to what you've studied for or believed most of your life. So it was quite an experience. Of course, the baptism was a highlight, but the greatest highlight was to see the empty tomb. How about that?
Oh, wow. That had to be remarkable as well. That had to be remarkable. Pastor Dunn, tonight we have a situation here. You know, well, we're talking tonight about does God change his mind, with emphasis on the Sabbath. But let's start out by speaking to the issue of the story here. Give us your opinion on that. This young man said that he would never marry a woman that would not follow. He believes that the wife should follow her husband, even when it comes down to the day of worship. How do you feel about that, when she's so strongly convicted about her faith, and it just so happens they worship on different days, but the same God? Pastor Dunn?
I'm here.
Okay, the question was for you. Give us your thoughts on tonight's story where Yolanda, Xavier broke up with her because he insists that he's not going to compromise, and neither is she. And he says that the wife should follow her husband even when it comes to the day of worship. And he could not see himself marrying a woman that was not submissive to him even to that point. Give me your thoughts on that. And then we'll go to the phone lines again. Mr. Steve, we'll bring you back in.
I would be honored to. First of all, let's define what marriage is. And I'm not an expert, but I do have 33 years in it to one wife. And one of the ways that has sustained is because of the key thing here. God, one thing about marriage is basically about compromise. I don't know, a lot of people don't like that word, but it is about compromise. Anybody that's been married for a length of time will tell you, boy, I had to compromise this, I had to compromise that. Now, there are some things I know as believers that we should not compromise. I'm clear on that. We should not compromise our faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's a deal breaker. I don't see the day we worship as being a deal breaker. I know that may be slightly different to some of the views that we may hear tonight. A deal breaker, what can happen since one worships on, you know, actually we should worship the Lord every day. How about that?
Okay.
Hello?
But he gives a specific day of worship.
Yes, Saturday is the Sabbath day. I'm a Protestant Baptist minister and pastor, but I'm clear that the Sabbath is on a Saturday. And you got to do the. Yes, sir.
Do the what now? And what day do you worship on?
I worship on Sunday, but I try to worship the Lord every day. But,
okay.
But I know some churches now that have gone to Friday night services, to Saturday services, to Wednesday night. You know, I don't think it should not be for a day. You know, like Jesus himself said, he said, man was not made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man. So I don't believe that it has to be a deal breaker. The wife is correct. The Sabbath is on a Saturday. Can you hear me? I hope I'm clear, because I'm moving around.
Yes, we can hear you. Uh-huh.
Yeah,
it is a
Saturday. But why can't they both go? Why can't they go one? Go on a Saturday and one go on a, if they truly love each other, you know, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures. It's not like the other person is unsaved or unbeliever.
Right.
Now, that would be a different. The Sabbath is not, what day we worship the Lord is not going to determine whether we get into heaven or not. That's my firm. I know we're dealing with opinions. What will dictate that is whether we receive Christ as Lord and Savior and repent of our sin, period.
Okay. I do, and Pastor Dunn, I want to get back to you. Let me go and chime in again, and I just want to ask you the question while you're saying that. Then, you know, I want you to think about this, because I'm going to come back to you and ask, why would God specify, why would he be so specific about the fourth commandment And he put the word there, he prefaced it by saying, remember, remember. So I want to find out, you know, if God did that, and he put that word remember there, and then, I mean, there's emphasis placed on that fourth commandment, then why would we perhaps come along and change what he's put there and he didn't change that? But we're going to ask you to stand by. We're going to come back to you in just a second. Mr. Steve, bear with us. Let me go to the phone lines once again. Let's go to 786-340. You're live on your Half Hour Inspiration program. Who do we have with us? And welcome. 786-340. All right, perhaps you're just going to listen in. 6340. Mr. Steve, let me bring you back in. Pastor Dunn said some incredible things. I mean, he said that he although he worships on Sunday, and he's the pastor of his church, but he has clearly emphasized that Saturday is the Sabbath day. Could that be confusing to a lot of people, Mr. Steve? I mean, you're a world-class traveler, in your opinion, of course.
It could be confusing. I know a church in Louisville, Kentucky, that has Saturday Sabbath worship, and they have Sunday. And the biggest crowd comes on Sunday. It's basically a type of Baptist church. They have a Sabbath, 11 a.m. worship, and they have a Sunday. It could be confusing, but as you had noted too, with the fourth commandment, and it's in the Old Testament, and under the fourth commandment it said remember, was the reason why it said remember, because somebody was going to forget, possibly forget. And then you got to look at the political side of what's going on back in the day that was happening, you know, with why it was changed. You know, Romans were the major power, world power back then. So you got political, you got your faith. You didn't have a whole lot of denominations back then. You had, I think, maybe three or four, but you got about 200 different denominations, the last book I looked at, you know. So we have a lot more choice of what we can do in America and how we believe freedom of religion. So mm-hmm. It was confusing me. I used to be a Baptist, you know, I worship on Sunday, but I just did a lot of reading, and that becomes a choice for that person, you know, and what kind of faith and what kind of trust you have in God in the words that you are reading in the Bible, the Holy Bible. So it's definitely confusing, because the Bible can be confusing if you understand. It's written in Hebrew and Greek. So if you ain't knowledgeable Hebrew to get the true wordings out of it, then it could be a little confusing to you. So I agree, it's definitely confusing, but you got to study and read and go places mm-hmm. and see what's going on with folks, because you gotta read and educate yourself and go and travel and see how other people live. Read your Bible, read books that are talking about certain things. You have to do that to educate yourself so you can find out the truth. I'm all about getting to the truth, Dr.
Okay,
Walker.
All right. We're going to ask you to stand by just a second, Mr. Steve, and when I come back to you, we're going to ask the question. You know, I guess everybody's perception of truth is different. You know, why is truth so important? And we're going to come back to you in just a second. You're listening live to your Half Hour Inspirational program. And we're putting emphasis on the Sabbath, Exodus 20, verse 8. Pastor Dunn, let me bring you back in, if I may. I want to ask this question. And those of you who are going to chime in to this discussion tonight, press 1 on your dial. We'll be more than happy to bring it in. And Pastor Dunn, could it be sometimes, let's just say if I were a minister, and I am, and I were, let's say, directed by people to remember Jim Jones, you know, Guyana, and he encouraged those people to drink that poisonous Kool-Aid. Could it be sometimes that maybe we're not just giving somebody something physically that could be detrimental to them, In that case, it was detrimental to their health and well-being, which caused the people to die that drank it. Could we also be giving people spiritual information that could be misleading when we know that we're not giving them the right information? Just a question here, Pastor Dunn.
No, it's a great question. I think your guest, our guest tonight said, Steve said, you know, one of the things he said, the study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman needed not be ashamed, but be able to rightly divide the word of truth. And
right.
I am very clear in terms of the day I try to worship the Lord every day, because in the fourth chapter of John, when Jesus dealt with the woman at the well, he said the hour
right.
has now come, when he was talking to the Samaritan woman, that they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So I believe if we do it in that context, that will supersede or transcend everything else. I mean, it is, like I said, if somebody asks me what is the actual day, I have no problems telling them, hey, it is Saturday. Sabbath is Saturday. No issue there. But I'm not what I understood Jesus say, that I don't have to be a slave to the Sabbath, because Sabbath was not made for man. Man was not made for the Sabbath. Sabbath was made for the man. I'm getting
right. Okay. Pastor Dunn, just one other question. So to answer that question, I know you say you're very clear. I've seen a number of Sunday worshipers, pastors, actually convert their church to Saturday keepers. Do you know any personally that have done that? And if so, like Mr. Steve said tonight, he grew up as a Baptist, and he changed over. And he knows of a minister that did as well, and he changed his congregation over. Is that important to give them that information if we know the truth? And I think the Bible speaks to that. If we know the truth and do it not, then that could be viewed as a sin. Is that right, Pastor?
Can you hear me? And I'm going to have to run. I hate that. I'm not trying to run from it, because this is a great subject. I'm just
okay.
on my way to a Valentine's Day dinner with my wife.
Okay, and happy Valentine's Day for everybody out there. So maybe you can come back on us when we have a part two on this. If you can just respond to that, then we'll move on. But you can probably listen to us as well live in your vehicle. We're heard all over the world.
All right.
Okay. All right, Pastor Dunn, I know he's got a run. Let's go to the phone lines again, 910-964. You're live on the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. We're going to ask everybody to be patient. We have enough time tonight. Pastor Dunn, thank you so much for joining us. I know you got to run, but perhaps you can check us out in your car. 910-964, you're live. Who do we have with us? Okay, perhaps the call is not there. 910-964. All right, let's go back to Mr. Steve. Mr. Steve, let's bring you back in and ask this question. You know, in our story tonight, this woman, Yolanda, has a strong conviction that she's not by any chance going to give up her conviction for her day of worship. And so, but they love each other. Somebody said before, what's love got to do with it? I think love is the most powerful force in the universe. And I think love, you know, you shouldn't go to get involved. So should she just give in for the sake of being with the man? Your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, she has the choice of giving in. And I didn't what truth is she, you know, for the religion, and what was his? I might have missed that. But like I said, if it's the truth, if she's with keeping the Sabbath and he's willing to for Sunday, the first day, and I do understand and believe all 7 days, God wants us to take the Sabbath and use it for 7 days. But he gave us 6 days to work. and do it, worship him on the Sabbath. So, you know, maybe I missed that part where is she not following him because he's worshiping on Sunday or he's worshiping on the Sabbath, you know.
He's worshiping on Sunday, and this is a conflict for them. And he broke up with her because she would not choose to worship on the day that he worshiped. And she does not want to give in because of her faith. So my question to you is, should she just give in and just go with her husband?
Marriage is a vow, and she should not technically, but I'm going to put a but in there. They could agree to go, like I said, there's a lot of compromise in marriages, to go to church with him, but she can still keep her faith in going to church and observing the Sabbath. But I've noticed a few marriages in the past that are like that, and it could be real sticky if both parties are strong and Bible readers and doers and been in the church since they was a kid. You could have a strong problem there. But I've seen a few cases that go to different churches, one on Saturday and one on Sunday, and it's working out great. But that comes with respect. Well, it comes with respect.
Okay. All right. Listen, Steve, we're going to ask you to stand by. We're going to go to the phone line. We got a lot of stuff that we want to cover tonight in this period of time. And one of those things, certainly, we're going to get back. We're going to go back to the question of, does God change his mind? And, you know, as the young lady placed emphasis on Exodus 20, verse 8, they had that discussion, actually. It wasn't mentioned in the story, but it is there that they had that discussion. So let me go to the phone lines again. Let's go this time to 352-560, 352-560, and then we'll try some of the other calls that we've tried to get in on before. 352-560, welcome to the show tonight. Who do we have with us?
This is Liz. How's everyone doing?
Liz, thank you so much. Doing good. Liz, tell us your thoughts. Does God change his mind?
Well, I have three scriptures, but I only know where one is right now. But the other two, I can tell you that they're in the Bible, but I don't have internet to find them real quick. So,
give us the one that you have. Okay,
the one that I have is in Matthew, and it's the 26th chapter, and it's the 39th verse, and it says, this is Jesus speaking in red ink, red writing, and he says, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless,
not as I will, but as thou will.
And that's where he changed his mind, that he wanted the cup to pass, and then he changed his mind and said, "Not my will, but thy will." But I have two others, but I don't have the scripture, but I can tell you that they are in Genesis.
All right.
About Moses,
so,
where God changed his mind and God said he repent because he was going to kill them all after they made that graven image.
Let me ask you this, Liz. And excuse me, Matthew 26:39. I'm quite familiar with it.
Yes.
When Jesus was, you know, but then
and, God the question is.
But the question becomes: are you saying that Jesus was God on earth, or was he human?
Yes.
He was
deity.
Was he both?
He's both.
Was he both?
He is both.
No, but at the time, was he both? So then that means he could not have sinned if he was both. Did he not lay down his deity? Did he not lay that down? Because to take on the human frailties, because if he didn't lay that down, then isn't it possible that he could never have died? He could never have died. If he was God on earth, then death would not have been possible for that to take place for him. You follow what I'm saying? Stand by.
I understand what you're saying, but Jesus is both. That's why he had the Immaculate, his mother Mary had the Immaculate Inception, because God said he'll overshadow her and she'll have a baby, and she said, be it unto me, you know. So he is both man and God. God came down in the form of Jesus.
Okay, so if that's the case, he had an advantage over us as humans. He could do something that we could not possibly do. He could not sin. It was
yes,
not possible
but he
for him
restrained himself and lived as a human so that he could be our example. So when people got on his nerves,
he
didn't just strike them dead. He didn't do that.
Was he human and God at the same time? Is that possible? We're going to actually stand by Liz just for a second. Let's go to 910. Mr. T, we're going to bring you back in momentarily. Let's go to 910. 964, we're going to try this call again. Hello? 910-964, we're getting a lot of feedback from your area. I don't know if you're listening to the radio and the internet at the same time. We're getting a lot of feedback. We'll try back again. Mr. Steve, let's bring you back in. Mr. Steve, was Jesus Christ God on earth?
Yes, he was God on earth in earth suit. He was God on earth.
So that means he could not have, it was not possible for him to sin. He was not like us then. Was he was not like us. Did he not lay down his deity to take on our characteristics as a human? So was he a human or was he God on earth?
Both.
Which one was he?
Both.
He had an earth suit. The spirit in him was God.
Amen.
And then the earth suit was dirt, which was a dirt, earth.
Man.
Earth man.
Okay.
So basically, he just was, the spirit be in him was of God. The earth suit was the dirt, so he could walk on this earth as a human being so they could see him in the flesh.
Amen.
Perfect in every way.
Mm-hmm.
Did not. You follow me? That's
amen.
You know, what I mean.
Okay. So, Mr. Steve, if that's possible, if God is takes on that human characteristic, was it possible for him as Jesus to sin, to fall frail to the things that man falls frail to?
No, he got tempted, but he didn't sin. He was tempted by Satan, you know.
So was it possible? My question was it possible then for Jesus to actually fall like man fell, if he was completely human and God at the same time? Or did he not have an advantage over us?
Well, yeah, he had an advantage, but he wouldn't be able to fall. In my thoughts, he wasn't able to fall, being that he was both. He wasn't able to fall, to fail. And he was tempted, as you were, Lucifer, Satan.
All right. Pastor Dunn, are you still there with us? Pastor Dunn, are you still there with us? Let's see if he's still there. Okay. It's showing that he is, but apparently he's gone. Let me try 786-340 again. 786-340, are you there? All right. 786-340. Okay, we're not able to hear them. Let me try 910, if you can. We had feedback from your phone. We want to try to bring you back in. Press 1 again on your dial. Maybe it's an area that you're in. Let's go to 305-769. You're live on your Half Hour Inspiration Program. Who do we have this evening?
Good evening. This is Ms. Augustine.
Ms. Augustine, thanks for joining us. Ms. Augustine, was Jesus human and God at the same time on earth, which could make him possibly be subject to change in his mind as God the Father?
Okay. I'm a little confused about one thing. In the Old Testament, when God created heaven and earth, God was in heaven. He was not on earth. When man sinned and God, Mary had Jesus, then that was when Jesus, which is God, walked on this earth. So what we're discussing is two different times. God did not walk on the earth before he was born to Mary.
Okay, my question to you is, was Jesus God and human while he was on earth?
Yes
or no?
Yes, he was.
Okay, so he had an advantage over us where we sinned. As God, he could not sin. Is that what you're telling me?
Yes.
All right, we're going to actually stand by just for a second. Let's go to 910. Let's try it again. 910-964. Are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yes, we can hear you now. What is your name, sir?
This is Stan Lee. I'm the brother of Stephen.
Oh, okay.
How you doing?
Thank you for joining us. Stanley, let me ask you, does God change his mind? That's the major question that we're asking tonight.
No, he doesn't.
Does God change his mind?
Well, let me say this. I think there's basically three truths. First, there's personal truth, there's political truth, and then there's objective truth. When you say that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, that's your own personal truth. If you say you're a Buddhist, that's your personal truth. Now, everyone is entitled to their own personal truth. The problem is when people take their personal truth and make it objective truth, which is something that we all can agree on. Now, an example of objective truth would be that our planet is in the third position from our sun. It orbits around the sun 365 days a year, and every fourth year, 366 days. As it's evolving around the sun, it moves on its axis.
Right, we have that. We have that science. Yeah. Uh-huh. So we're trying to get to your point.
Now, we also have political truth. People say something over and over and over and over again, and people believe it. Like, the United States of America is the greatest country in the world. Well, is that true? And back to your question, does God change his mind? The question is, who wrote the book? So if you read the old, so-called Old Testament versus the New Testament, you're going to see a whole lot of differences.
Mm-hmm.
At one point in time, God was talking to the people. He had a relationship with Moses. Moses talked to Aaron, and Aaron talked to the people.
Mm-hmm.
Then that was the old covenant. Then you have a new covenant.
Yes.
Where now, if you want to talk to God, read the book. Or you got to go through Jesus.
Yes.
So prior to the birth of Jesus, how did man have a relationship with God, as you call it, God? So what changed? God or the story? I'm inclined to say, if this creator has been the same always, it's not that the creator has changed. People are telling a different version of the story, which leads to one religion, Christianity, having multiple denominations because of interpretation.
Okay. All right.
But
that's a good point.
And I just want to end it with this. To me, the most important thing in life is to love people,
mm-hmm.
respect people,
mm-hmm.
and have integrity.
Okay. Then we're going to ask you to stand by. Mr. Steve, let's bring you in. Mr. Stanley had quite a bit to say here tonight. He talks about political truth and two other types of truth. And truth, of course, is really, he mentioned about objective truth, but objective truth can be what, you know, reasonable people might think. But actually, personal truth is subjective truth. So, you know, that's what we all have our opinions that we can relate to, if that be the case. So let me bring you in, Mr. Stephen, ask this question. If Jesus was God on earth, then there's a likelihood that you know, you begin to wonder, how can we be expected to be as a God to do everything right like Jesus did if he did not lay down his deity? Because the question has been asked for generations, was God God or was he human? You know, which one was he while he was on earth? And the scripture does reveal that a great deal of this is based on one's interpretation, because it said he laid down his glory to take on humanity. So, Mr. Steve, the question becomes, was God human on earth? Was he? And you've answered that, and you say, yes, he was God. So then, was he subject to change his mind? As Liz is saying, he changed his mind. Now, I don't necessarily agree with the scripture that she's talking about with Matthew 26:39, but I don't personally, this is just me now, we're all giving our opinions, I don't personally think that God changes his mind. I don't. But go ahead, Mr. Steve, let's bring you back in and get your thoughts on that.
Okay, one thing I want to bring up Malachi 3:5-6, and I'm going to start at 6 first. For I am the Lord, I change not, therefore you son of Jacob are not consumed. Verse 5, and I will come new trial to judgment, and I will be swift witness against the sorcerer, against the adulterers, against the false and swearers, etc. And fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts. So the Malachi 6, you know, really clearly, I change not. So, you know, like, these are people's thoughts, opinions, and how they read or interpret stuff. And we have millions of people on the earth, and I feel, you know, that everybody's entitled to an opinion. I love this show, and we just have to be on it, read and study more, because it's so important. As you can, you know, come to something where you want to be a red rail person to read and have an opinion. But Jesus Christ, when he walked on this earth, he died. He had to die.
Yes.
He had to die. Now, understand, don't make it he had to die and then he rose again.
Yes.
Controversial on whether he did all that and whether Christ or not, but basically he had to die. And we become saved, and who shall believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So that's
all right,
kind of
Mr. Steve, I got to ask this question. I want to ask this question, and that is, you mentioned Malachi 3, I believe it was 5:8, 5 and 6?
Yeah.
Okay, now that question is, when he says that I am God, I change not, was he talking about his character, or was he talking about his mind, or is that an interpretation or a perception that one might have? When he says, I change not, for example, let me give you the analogy. It's like as sometimes people get older and they start seeing a great deal of gray hair, and they decide that because they want to look a certain way younger, they say, well, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to dye this hair so that I can look differently. I can look younger. So the question becomes, when God said, I change not, was he referencing his character, his appearance, his glory, or was he talking about the completeness of who he is, that I don't change anything? What's your perception or your interpretation of that?
Mine, he doesn't change his opinion, his thoughts. In other words, he says something, it's his word. It's bond. You know, this is who I am. I change not. And that's my thoughts on that. There's some
okay.
other little things. That's my thoughts on it. He changed not.
All right. Hold on, Mr. D. We're going to bring you back in just for a second. Now, I've done some research, and I'm sure some of you all have, and we're going to get to where it was God said that it repented him to his heart that he had made man. I interpreted that as it really bothered God that he had made man because man seemed to just be so wretched or whatever the words they use out here, that man just seemed to be contrary to what God had expected of him. And so my question becomes now that he could have destroyed man, but his love overruled, it appeared, his thought of destroying man, which still allowed man to have his free choice, and some have identified that as free will. So the question becomes, and Liz, I want to bring you into this one and ask you the question.
Yes.
If God were to change his mind, then wouldn't it appear that he's not all-knowing? I mean, you know, I'm going to wear red today or tomorrow, you know. Well, I'll change my mind. I'm going to wear yellow instead. Doesn't that seem like it might suggest or infer that God is not all-knowing?
No, it does not suggest that. You have to understand that in Genesis it says that we were made in his likeness and in his image. So in order for us to change our mind, and God says that ye are little gods and we are like him, then he
must... Wait, he
must
said we're little gods? He said that?
In the Bible it says that ye are little gods.
Oh,
and
it does?
So,
I've never seen that. Where do you find that?
That's in the Bible. I don't know where it is right now. I don't have internet. But it is in the Bible, and it says that ye are little gods and that we are made in his image. So what we learn, we get it from him. So if we change our minds, then we got it from him. He changes his mind. But
no.
Now not in the way like, scatterbrain or anything like that. For example, as far as him changing his mind, just like if I was to ask any of you all, for example, if you say today I'm going to go home this way and then tomorrow I'm going to take a different route and I'm going to change and go a different route tomorrow. Now,
right.
Does that mean that you are a changed person, or did you just change the route that you went? Doesn't mean that you yourself changed. You just changed your direction of which way you're going. Is that right?
According to what you're saying, it does. Liz, we're going to ask you to stand by just for a second. Let me go to Ms. Augustine. Ms. Augustine.
Yes?
I mean, when God was referring to I change not, was he talking about him as the I am in terms of character, or was he talking about the mindset? What was he speaking to in your interpretation?
He was talking about the mindset that whatever he say, it is work. And whatever he did, it was him doing. He didn't change anything. What he say, he meant.
Okay.
And
all right.
He never changed his mind.
All right. So, Ms. Augustine, I'm hearing different views here tonight. So you're clearly saying that God is not a God who changes his mind. Is that what I hear you saying?
Yes.
Would you say that if he changed his mind, he would not be all-knowing, omniscient?
He would,
is that
he would
fair
not.
To say?
Because
okay.
he knows everything. He knows it already before it happens.
So why is it that, in your opinion, and we respect all opinions, in your opinion, why do you think people think that God changed his mind?
I've been wondering about that. I really have. I don't know how they can think that God changed his mind. I really don't. And if you read the Bible, and you know, I listen to the Bible a lot, and I can't jump from scripture to scriptures like that, like a lot of people can. But in reading the Bible, whatever God's word is, his word is bond. His word, he means what he say. And he does not change it. He doesn't say, I'm going to do this time, and maybe I'm going to change my mind and do this over here. He don't. His word is law.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And he doesn't change his mind.
Okay. So let's take a look. We're going to shift gears just a moment, and we're going to go to Exodus 28. And I want to ask you, and while I've got you there, Mr. C, we're going to bring you back in. And Ms. Augustine, he says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days out of the lake, but the 7 days before. So now, if we look at the calendar and we look at the seventh day, Ms. Augustine, what day is that? I'm just asking what day it is.
The seventh day is Saturday. And the seventh day of Saturday is the Sabbath.
Okay, so then why? I'm just asking a question here, you all. I'm just really trying to. This is educational for me. It's learning. Why is it then that so many people would alter that day of Saturday to go to Sunday? Why, in your opinion, why? I mean.
Well,
money.
money and life, you know, life made changes and we do have to work. But what I was raised to go to church on the Sabbath, which is the seventh day of Adventists. But as I grow older and I had to work, so
what you're saying?
He write money because Saturday was the day I made the most money. I did worship God on the Sabbath. Actually, I worship Him every day.
Okay, so
but I went to church on Sunday.
What I'm hearing you say, then, Ms. Augustine, is it fair to say that, you know, some people make it convenient for them, regardless of what God says. Is that fair to say? We just make it convenient for ourselves, no matter what God says.
Well, I wouldn't say that we make it convenient for us, because even though God said, and the Sabbath is the Sabbath to keep it holy, but
I knew you were
going
to say but. That's what everybody said.
before Christ, there was God's law, and God expected us to follow His law. And for me, I believe that when Jesus was born, we are living by grace and not by law. That's my
belief. Really? So God changed His mind?
He didn't change His mind.
Oh, my goodness.
He didn't change his mind.
Ms. Augustine, we're going to hold on just a second. Mr. C, let's bring you back in. I mean, I don't want to confuse anyone, and I certainly don't want to be confused. But now, when she put that conjunction there, the word but, that means that something else is about to come, and we need to nullify everything prior to that. So then, Mr. Steve, when she said but, that means that everything else was nullified. The Old Testament is kind of like nullified, and I'm not putting words in Ms. Arson's mouth. But, Mr. Steve, it means that now we go to a new law in the New Testament. So, wow, that's interesting. So that almost seems like, okay, God, we're confused now. Because do we go with the Old Testament or do we go with the New Testament? Is there really a new law? What happened to the old law? Why you changed from the old law, God? Was that for the people of that time and this is for the people of this time? What is it? Mr. Steve, we bring you in.
It's everybody. The God is for everyone. He just used the Israelites to move the message through. And I think it was Ms. Augustine said something about, you know, well, anyway, I wanted to read 1 Samuel 15:35, which the thought is why people thinking different about does God change his mind, and this can kind of confuse you. And Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord repented that he made Saul king of Israel. So he was a little repent about making Saul king of Israel, you know, but that could think, you know, God changed his mind, but no, he didn't change his mind. You know, you have to understand some of the words that when you read them, what it means, because it means maybe too many different, it has several different meanings, and that becomes a confusion in English language for sure, and then some other language where one word has two or three meanings, first, second, and third, and that's where we can have the problem of thinking about whether God changes his mind or not based on scripture read, because one word has three or four different meanings, and definitely has confused me in understanding, but I just try to read it through and pray to make the
right
difference, but that's a thought that, you know, you come with about, you know, why does God change his mind? The different readings that you read in the scriptures, one would think such a thing, but I believe that God does not change his mind.
All right, Ms. Augustine, I want to bring you in. Liz, we're going to bring you back in just a second, and the question becomes, are you familiar at all, Ms. Augustine, with the Roman Catholic priest, the emperor, Constantine? Are you familiar with any history on him, the Roman Catholic emperor?
Yes, I read something about it, but I don't remember a lot of it.
Okay. Do you know anything about have you ever heard the history of the year A.D. 321, in the year of our Lord, where the emperor went in and he changed the day of worship from Saturday to Sunday? And he made it very difficult for those that didn't worship on that day. Are you familiar with any of that?
Yes.
Everything has an origin. You have. How do you feel about that? And then, Mrs. C, we're going to ask you to come in and share some light on that if you have any historical information on that. So go ahead, Ms. Augustine. Your thought first.
Okay. How I feel about it. Being a child that was raised in Seventh-day Adventist Church and switching over to going to church on Sunday, I didn't realize why. I was just told I had to do it. So, and reading the Bible and going to church and whatever, I just started feeling that every day is the day for me to worship God. So I worship him every day, not just Sunday, not just Saturday. It's just that Saturday became more convenient for me to go to church with my children.
Uh-huh.
Yes, it became more convenient for me to go to church with my children and to give that day to God. But I had a pastor who said he was ministering one Sunday, and he was saying that Saturday is the Sabbath. He said, and I work from Sunday to Saturday. He said, my Sabbath that I dedicate this day to God is Monday. And he said, the reason why, he said, because when I'm ministering to y'all today, which is on a Sunday, I'm working.
Uh-huh.
So he said, well, so uh-huh. I have to take a day and dedicate that day to God. Mm-hmm. So he picked Monday. I know we don't have the right to change God's law because the Sabbath is Saturday. But
but I know you're going to bring a buddy in again. Go ahead, Ms. Augustine.
There's a but.
Uh-huh.
But in the way the world is today, is very difficult for the world to continue existing with everybody being not working and just serving God on Saturday.
But Ms. Augustine, I asked you earlier, was it convenient? And you insisted, you said no, it was not convenient. But isn't that, and now you're bringing in the word convenient. You know, the day of worship for Sunday, because we're following now what the
what
world says to do.
Yes, what the world said to do. But God didn't say that.
No. Okay, Mr. Steve, let's bring Liz in just before you come in, Mr. Steve.
Liz, who should we listen to? Who really should we listen to? Should we listen to man or should we listen to God, Liz, in your opinion?
Well, being that the world was made by God and he is the lawgiver, the creator, and he's the only one has the heaven and the hell to put us in, I think we should listen to the manufacturer, the owner, the creator, who made everything, since he knows everything. So if he say that the fourth commandment, remember to keep the Sabbath day holy, and the seventh day is the Sabbath, then I think he ought to know what he's talking about.
Okay. So why do we switch for the convenience? Let me bring you in and ask that question. Why do we switch? Because it's convenient. You know, I make more money on Saturday, so I might as well, you know, God will understand, so let me just work and make all of this extra money because it's convenient for me. What are your thoughts on that, Mr. Steve?
Well, it has been convenient. If you're old enough, you remember the 50s, 40s, 60s, where people didn't do nothing on Sunday. They didn't do nothing on Sunday.
Okay.
They went to church and they rode around and this and that. They didn't do nothing. But now you realize Sunday, more money on Sunday. So many things are open on Sunday than ever before. And it's caused, you know, mm-hmm. a money. The capitalist country that we're in. And people not want to remember, either by choice or whatever, when it says remember. And we have to look up to something as humans. We're going to look up to something. That came the Greeks, well, with the mythology of thunder god, sun god. We always had to have something that's superior and living, whatever. So we brought these thunder gods and thunder and lightning and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, but man changed it. And who is man to change something? Because the whole power structure came from the Romans, you know, because they was power one of the world, the Caesars. And they did worship and did things and to honor them. Man has always wanted to be like a god and wanted to be worshipped that way. And that's a part of everything. They feel they gave them power to do the change. So if you got the power to change the day, then you could be looked upon as a god. And the Caesars of the world and the Hitlers and other wanted to be what God was, but they can't. No one can be that.
Mm-hmm.
God is all knowing, all eternal God, forevermore God. I am that I am. So, you know.
Okay, so.
Please.
Right. Okay, so, Mr. Steve, we have. Well, you got, and this question is definitely directed to Ms. Augustine, because you do have some places out there that really recognize their Sabbath of Sunday, like Chick-fil-A. They close on Sunday nationwide. Did you realize that, Ms. Augustine?
No, I don't eat at restaurants that much.
No, I know, but I'm just saying Chick-fil-A was one of those that you hear about. Because their founders are religious people, and they say that that will be their Sabbath, and they shut down. They're not open anywhere on Sundays nationwide. So, and that's the day that they've chosen. Now, I know that I think that what happens, and this is solely my opinion, you all, and I think that we do things as humans for our own independent convenience. You know, and then, you know, not to piggyback on what your word, Ms. Augustine, but I think that we do use that word, that conjunction.
But
we bring that in, we interject that to make our excuses that we don't see as excuses, but to make it convenient for us in any walk of life of anything we do. And I think that what we as humans do, we interject, and because if you think about it, we got so many denominations. Mr. Steve mentioned about 200 different denominations. We have well over that. So
yes.
If, you know, when we bring all of this in, what we're doing is somebody comes up with this. Now it looks like it's pretty good. So we start a religion based on that. And then, you know,
We may call it after somebody, but we are including God, Yahweh, or Jehovah, or something in, you know, but we are just looking at something greater than ourselves, but we're not necessarily looking to follow that. We're looking to tweak it just a little bit as we, you know, we want to say, well, God, I don't want to change your word too much. I don't want to alter it too much. Well, we have no power to alter anything that he's done. We're only going to mess it up. But we do it for our convenience, which, like Liz said, the manufacturer, we should listen to the manufacturer. You know, if they tell me to put in one of my cars, you know, octane gas, and I'm going to try to get the cheapest one, there's going to be some rattling going around in that car after a while.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know, so.
Amen.
Then, you know, so I think that we tweak this. And we're like, God, you understand, we got to tweak this just a little bit, you know, because it's not convenient. I can make more money on Saturdays. Really, God, I can. So I know you, God, and you understand, because you know what? God, I need to pay these high-class bills that I got.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody help me, please.
Oh,
Mr.
yes.
C, what is going on? Why do we do this?
Well, we, you know, we're driven by capitalism in the state, the United States, that people were reared or raised in, and people admire America. We do it because, you know, the love of money. You know, there's nothing wrong with being rich and wealthy, but the love of it is what's the sin. The love of it is what's the sin. And we do things because we're human. I mean, we make mistakes.
Yeah.
All of us have made mistakes. We all make mistakes. We're not perfect. But in Christ, you know, in God, Jehovah, if you believe and pray and stuff, you can be in a set thing that you know, can be in and live a good life. Like I said, love, truth, and to respect each other, you know. But the sin is still there. The sin is still there. So you still are always capable of sinning. And you just do the best you can and live a better life each day on this earth. And try to do
right.
good for man.
And
you know,
ask God every day ask God for forgiveness.
There you go.
Okay,
there
so
go.
Now, so now, Mr. Steve, I gotta bring this question in. It was just, I just need to see what you all are thinking here. And that is, if we're, wouldn't there be some expectations that God has of us when it comes to following his word? Doesn't he have, I mean, why did he put it out there anyway if he didn't expect us to kind of live by that?
He expected to follow it, to do it.
Huh?
He expected that. He wanted us that. He is Almighty God. He wanted us to do his will on earth as it is in heaven. That's what he wanted.
Yes.
That's what he
right.
wants. He wanted
right.
to do his will, you know. And
okay.
when you don't, you're going to face some consequences. But you can strive
okay.
and pray every day to do his will, you know, on a daily, hourly basis. But you have to keep focused on that. But we got so much to keep us busy, it's a shame. Too much stuff going out there. We're just too busy. Everybody on the stuff.
I hear you. You're going in and out, Mr. Steve.
No, I was just saying, I know you are busy, you know, 24/7. You know, you're busy 24/7. So it ain't too many people that much busy than you are, because you always got something going on.
Exactly.
You just got to live right, respect each other. But God wanted
right.
to do his will on earth as it is in heaven. That's what he wants. You know, he wants us to do
right.
his will. That's why he put it out there, to be.
He does. He does. He does. So there's an so Mr. Steve, what you're telling me is there is an expectation that he has from us to do his word, right? His word, his will. Okay,
yes.
But at the same time, let me ask you, because we often say as humans, we say, God, there's no way I can be perfect. Liz, let's bring you in. Liz, can we be perfect?
No. Yes, the Bible said to be perfect and upright, that Job was a perfect and upright man. And so I was going to ask you, if it's not a problem, Dr. Walker, can we go, or can I ask Miss Augustine if she could ask Google or Alexis, where is that verse in the Bible where God says himself to Moses, I repent, which is another word for I change my mind from killing these people who made this golden image calf with all the jewelry.
So the word I repent means I change my mind?
No.
The word repent
means
you have a change of mind.
I thought repent means to forgive.
When you repent for your sins. Repent is another word for change my mind. For change. God told Moses, I repent. Because Moses said, God, you going to kill all these people? The Egyptians going to say you just brought us out here in the wilderness to kill us. And he said, oh, well, I repent. Because he said, Moses, I'll make of you a new nation, a great nation, and I'll just kill these people. And Moses said, God, you can't do that.
What is the definition of the word repent?
Well, I think what he was talking about was a feeling or an expression of
regret or remorse about wrongdoing or sin.
That was a Liz. I think what he was referring to, I believe, this is my opinion now, that was a feeling or an expression from God that he had sincere regret.
Yes,
and, you know,
and
but
he
was only talking to him.
He changed his mind. He repented. He said, God said, I repent. He told Moses, I repent. I won't kill him. Since you said that, Moses, I won't kill him. So, Miss Augustine, can you find that verse where the Bible said, where God says, I repent?
She just said it. Okay, Google, what is the definition of the word repent?
Not the definition, no. The definition in the Bible, where is that verse that says God says I repent?
We're going to come back to that momentarily, Ms. Augustine. We're going to come back to that in just a second. Mr. Steve, let's bring you back in. Because what we're finding is that, you know, it seems like we're not, some of us feel that God changes his mind, and some of us feel, and of course we're all respecting each other's opinions and views, and some of us feel that God doesn't change his mind. So how do we really bring this home? Because we've got only about 12 minutes before we close the show out tonight. Give us some historical background on the Sabbath that you may have researched, Mr. C, that you would like to share with us.
Okay. Sabbath, for one thing, in the beginning, God created heaven and earth. In the evening and the morning was the first day. In the evening and the morning was the second day. So therefore, you got to look at the days, the 7 days. In the evening, like about an hour or so ago in Georgia, the sun set. So when the sun set, that's the next day. So man changed it to midnight as the next day.
Okay.
So you got to, you're going to man or God, evening and morning was the sixth day. The evening and morning was the seventh day. So when the sun set, that next second, that's another day. That is written in Genesis of the creation. All right? So man decided to put, midnight, we're going to celebrate New Year's Eve, and the 12 o'clock is the next day. That's man's version of another day. So I believe the evening and morning first day. And that's why we have the seventh, you have 6 days, he worked, he created earth, and the seventh day, he rested. All right? In it, thou shalt not do any work, nor anyone working for you, your manservant, or whatever. And then there's a scripture where Jesus, about healing on the Sabbath, he helped some animals on the Sabbath.
Yes.
I just had that scripture.
I was just going to say that.
Sabbath, you know, has this on the in other words, you're going to let somebody go and have an accident and they die on the Sabbath, and you ain't going to do, you're going to let them just die. So there's nothing wrong with helping someone a healing on the Sabbath, because there was a lot of controversies on doing that on the Sabbath. But you're not going to let a person die or your animal dying. You're going to try to help it out, you know, and that's what someone that's of goodwill will try to do.
Okay. Oh, I was just going to think of that.
All right. So we're about 9 minutes away from closing the show out tonight. So another question. Liz, let's bring you back in. And I know that you're strong, and we certainly appreciate you and love your views and your perspective. And, of course, we're not challenging anyone's belief systems or their beliefs.
I appreciate because you all, too, and agree with your views, too. Thank you.
Yeah. You know, and it seems that, you know, and it's okay to even agree to disagree on what we believe. And I that's what I can appreciate about a democracy, even though we don't always act that way. But we do appreciate opposing views. And so, I mean, and we're not intending to try to influence or persuade people to think otherwise. I just like to have the Friday shows as an arena for discussion, and which would take me as one back to starting to look at some further research, and in an attempt to all learn more about God, and that's what I'm hoping that this arena is about, to learn more about the character of God, you know, the deity of God, who God is, and how we can love Him and be better people to serve as our nation and our world. So,
yes.
Having said. Let me ask you, Liz, what do you think God has when, in terms of expecting things from us to do? Because He says, if you love me, you know, other than just keeping the commandments, how should we be with our fellow man?
He said, love your neighbor as yourself and love God first. These are the two greatest commandments, and all the rest hang on these two commandments. Love God and love your neighbor.
With all that heart. Right. The first four, and that new commandment, what you're referring to, I've been trained or taught to believe that the first four rest on that one, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. And then the next six is about man's humanity towards his fellow man. So having said that, Liz, and thank you for sharing that with us, we want to really, and you place emphasis on listening to the manufacturer, and that is so important because I ended up taking my car to somebody that was not the manufacturer, and,
uh-oh,
you know, it repented me to my heart. Which in this case,
he used that same word God used. I repent.
Yeah, but in this case, repented not mean it meant that I was sorry.
Yeah,
I was remorseful for doing that.
Them people too.
Yeah, but it didn't mean that God. Well, we're probably not going to agree on that part.
I understand what you're saying. Go ahead. I was
trying to find a cheaper way.
Right.
And this cheaper way sometimes turned out to be.
Yes.
Right, cut corners turn out to be more expensive because you end up having to go back to the manufacturer anyway.
Right. Yeah,
and I'm
exactly.
saying, my goodness, now I done paid the manufacturer and I paid this size, you know, mechanic.
End
and
up
it's like,
paying more.
So is it possible that when we don't listen to, in your opinion, the manufacturer being God, isn't it possible, and Ms. Cross said it on the radio last night, and I wrote this down, is it possible that because we make our decisions, it's possible that we don't get to choose our consequences when we got to go back to now that manufacturer? Your thoughts on that, Liz? And then, Mr. T, we're going to bring you back in and get your thoughts on that as well.
You make me think about the story where Jesus was approached, where the rich young ruler said, what must I do? And he said, keep all the commandments. And he said, I've done all of that from my youth. And Jesus
right.
said, okay, well, then go and sell that you have and give to the poor. And he left running because he was holding on to that money. He like, I ain't letting this money go, Jesus. I love you, but I got to go because you're talking about my money. So he decided to keep the money and let Jesus go. So Jesus want us to have money, but he don't want money to have us. So Jesus say, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me. And the Father says, no man, if you deny my son, then I'm going to deny you. I think Jesus said that our Father, you know, if you deny the son, then the Father will deny you. So we cannot come to God's heaven and ignore his son. I'm sorry for the Buddhists and the different religions who don't accept Jesus, because he is the key to heaven. God is not going to let you come in his heaven and you ignore his son who he sent to die for you. He's not going to let you do it. So if you think you can come to God and go around his son, it won't work. He even have a scenario, a story in the Bible where he said for the husbandmen to go, sent out for the people to come to the dinner, and they say, oh, well, I'm busy, I just got married, I got my agriculture. They came with all kind of excuses, and they say we can't come. And so then the groomsmen, he said, go to the hedges and the highways and the byways and get those low people, the prostitutes. It's going to be prostitutes in heaven and preachers in hell.
Mm-hmm.
You can't go around Jesus. So we have to follow Jesus.
All right, we're going to actually stand by. Mr. Steve, let's bring you back in. And, you know, we're about to close this out now. We got about 2 minutes. And so tonight, you know, we were looking for some historical background, and I think that we mentioned AD 321. And I certainly would encourage people to go out and take a look at that when you get an opportunity to do so. And then, of course, everything comes down to subjectively deciding for yourself. So, Mr. Steve, what are the final thoughts that you have with us tonight, if anything?
Phil, you know, we all can go back and read and study and research and look for the truth. I think, you know, because this is going to have me reading and going back and maybe go take a trip, you know, back over there to get some truth. And because everything that's written, you just kind of be an open mind with stuff and understand things. So, you know, and this made me read and understand and read more and look for stuff more. You know, I'm still looking for things. This is a great show. It gives me the thinking. And when you're thinking, it gives you to start looking and say, hey, that could be something to that. Let me read this, another version. Let me go talk to some old people back in the day.
Yeah.
Everybody has a different interpretation based on the word. Remember, the one word means sometimes three or four different things. So we have to come together as together, and we might need to have a retreat. Hello.
Amen.
Yes,
I'm coming to Georgia. You in Georgia? That'd be a nice vacation.
Dr. Walker, have a retreat somewhere where we can be face-to-face one day.
That's right. I look forward to that. I look forward to that. You know, so here we are. It's amazing how, you know, when we put things out there and we see how other people, you know, exercise their freedom to believe and exercise their freedom of religion or expression, it's so unfortunate when you look at other countries and they don't have the same freedoms that we have here. And it becomes saddened. It becomes really sad. And
yes.
I think that we should, you know, be praying for them. At
yes.
least here, we're able to agree to disagree. But in these
yes.
other countries, some of them, these people don't even have that opportunity to worship the way that they want to worship. Ms. Augustine, just quickly, we got about 30 seconds. What are your thoughts on that when freedom is not to freedom to, you know, express your feelings towards a creator is not free? How do you feel about that?
I think about being enslaved, slavery time.
Amen.
When you had no rights, and to
mm-hmm.
not have rights of thought and mind and body, you're not free.
No.
Okay. Wow. That is so awesome. That is
yeah.
so awesome. Listen, we're clearly out of time tonight, you all. Mr. Steve, I want to go ahead and thank you for being our featured guest, and I certainly look forward to you coming back with us again as we continue with some of our discussions on our Friday night program. We're going to ask all of you all to join us next Friday when the topic will be, does your religion keep you in bondage? That's a show that you really don't want to miss. Does your religion keep you in bondage? Join us here next Thursday for the Dr. Jess Walk Show. Of course, if you choose to bypass next Thursday, join us back here live for the Friday night show, which will be Does Your Religion Keep You in Bondage? Mr. Steve, any final thoughts? We certainly appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us this evening.
Just research, pray, and I'm looking forward to Does Your Religion Keep You in Bondage? That's going to be a good one.
making me get ready to start reading right now.
Right.
Yes, sounds like a great topic.
Okay. Listen, thank you all so very much. Join us back here again next Thursday for the Dr. Jesse Walk Show, or if you choose to bypass next Thursday, we'll see you back here live next Friday for your half-hour inspirational program. And until next Thursday, until next Friday, I say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God. Good night, everybody.
Good night. Good night.
You did a great job, everybody.
Aww. I got to get my Bible.
Get that Lexus.